Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Turn to Genesis 22. We have got to move. Busy day today. Genesis chapter 22. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. God, thank you for life and breath. Thank you for allowing us to be here. God, thank you for giving us your word. I pray now that you'd help us this morning in the Sunday school hour. God, that you'd work in our hearts, work in our lives. We do pray that you'd go before us, God, to Daytona and help us, God, to be a good witness to you. God, help us to show these people their need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ is that Savior. God, we pray that their hearts would be open, that their eyes would be open, their ears would be open. They would consider the truth of Jesus Christ and be saved, and you'd receive the honor and glory. And I pray that you'd help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 22. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." And I have preached this before in church, and I think in Sunday school previously also, and you get such a great picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, if you don't know, just real quick, you have the Father who loves his Son, and he's going to offer his Son upon this mountain. You have the ass and the people carrying the wood up to the point they get to the mountain. Then up that mountain, what do you have? You have the Son carrying that wood up the mountain. You have Isaac laying down his life. You don't read about a struggle. You don't read about a fight. You don't read about an argument. You read that he willingly lays down his life for his Father. Right? So just an amazing picture of Jesus Christ. And of course, towards the end, you have the ram that's caught in a thicket, a ram that's a male lamb. Right? And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he's caught in the thicket, right? Meaning around the head of that ram is what? Thorns. Right? And Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, when he suffered and died for us on the cross, he had that crown of thorns upon his head. And it's a really amazing picture. I love the pictures. I'm amazed by the pictures. I believe that those are just solid reasons this book did not come from man. Because if this book was written by Moses, why would there be so much detail that matches the events of the life and the person and the offering of Jesus Christ? And this is one chapter. There is chapter after chapter after chapter, verse after verse after verse, where we see Jesus Christ as a type in all of these Old Testament words written, chapters, stories, verses written, everything there just tells us about Jesus Christ. And so I love those pictures. I love preaching those pictures. I love seeing those pictures. But I thought that's not the message for today. This is, the Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." Keep Genesis 22, turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. The reason I go there, and obviously it's a great cross-reference passage, but you're going to run into somebody, you deal with atheists out there, you deal with Christ rejectors and Bible rejectors, and I have heard this one out on the street several times. They're going to say, "Oh, that Bible is full of contradiction. That Bible is full of error," because it said in Genesis 22 that God did tempt Abraham. James chapter 1, this is what they'll say. They'll say, look at James chapter 1, verse number 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Let me say, see, that's a contradiction. But it's not a contradiction, they just don't read. Just look one verse back, verse number 12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried. He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we have two different temptations. We have a temptation in which a man is drawn away of his own lusts to do something that is evil. And then you have a trial that is sent by God for the purpose of testing, trying, etc. Look at Hebrews chapter 17, 13, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Dyslexic this morning. Hebrews 11, look at verse number 17. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was what? Tried. When he was tried, offered up Isaac, Genesis 22, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. So what do we have? We have clear reference from God, cross-reference from God, Hebrews 11, James chapter 1. We're not talking about Abraham being drawn away of his own lust or God putting something evil before him. We have Abraham getting a trial from God, a test from God. No contradiction. In fact, let's just go back, James chapter 1. We're going to be in James 1 and Genesis 22 for a little bit. But the Bible says, verse number 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, right? So it's that word has varied context. You have to read in context. We talk with context. Just atheists don't want to give God that same courtesy, amen. You know? Yeah. Right? Right? We say things without giving all of the details because context in our life, in our circumstances, or in the previous conversation all point to what we mean. Right? We do this all the time. Everybody does this all the time. Say, I came from Publix. You weren't born in Publix, right? I mean, you went to the store, you came back. There's context to it. All right, Genesis 22. Genesis 22. The Bible says in verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. So we have established this is a trial sent by God. This is not something Abraham desires. This is not something Abraham would lust after. In fact, I would say probably quite the contrary. Who would want to do this? Who would want to offer their only begotten son? Nobody in their right mind would want to hurt their children. Nobody in their right mind would want to slay their children or burn their children. That's foolishness, evil, wickedness, right? This happened in the pagan days of old, happened into this very day, people killing their children. Terrible thing. But in its context, we know we're talking about a trial that is sent by God. And we would say by cross-reference, James chapter 1, this is the trying of his faith. Let's keep Genesis 22, go back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And as we read before, verse number 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So I'll give you this. This is free this morning. I believe God gave us a perfect Bible in English. Amen. This is the King James Bible. It's a perfect Bible. It's without error. I don't need to go to the Greek, which doesn't exist, or a Greek lexicon to help me understand an English Bible. I go to an English dictionary. Fair? All right, so trial, this is definition, trial in 1828. Experience of suffering that puts strength or patience of faith to the test. Afflictions or temptations, this is in the definition, that exercise and prove the graces or virtues of men. Give you one more time. Experience or suffering that puts strength or patience of faith to the test. Afflictions or temptations that exercise and prove the graces or virtues of men. That's what a trial is. That's what a temptation is here in Genesis 22. That is what God has put upon Abraham. And the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 2 that we are to count it all joy. Now that just doesn't sound right. Why would we want to count it all joy when we are facing suffering, afflictions, difficulties, hardship? Why would we want to count it all joy? And it does say count it all joy. It's not that it is joyful or a time of rejoicing, but it's something in which we account joy to. It is something in which we impute joy to. And I'll give you this. I mean, this is about my life and my walk with God, and I have had in my life, I have had ups and I've had downs. And I believe everyone in here has had ups and you've had downs. And I know some of you have had really sore trials. And I've prayed for you and prayed with you, and I would say, based on my life experience and my walk with God, I have no right to even speak on trials. But I've got the Word of God. And I think God can help us. I think God gives us this for a reason. But I'm going to tell you about my life, my walk with God, during my downs in life, if you will, during the times in which I am walking through the valley, if you will. I find that I can see more clearly that I need God. I can see that I depend on God for everything. In my light affliction, I see that I need to grow closer to God. And perhaps that's why we should count it all joy. Because it's those valleys, it's those difficult times in life in which we will draw nigh to God. Proverbs chapter 30, I'll give you this, verse number 8. The Bible says, give me neither poverty nor riches. And it says in verse number 9, or verse 8, feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. Right? And what he's saying, who is the Lord? What he's saying is, you know, if I got everything I need, I might think I don't need God. He says, feed me with food convenient for me. You think about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had the greatest kingdom, according to the Bible, there ever was, perhaps besides David and Solomon, but had this great kingdom, was that head of gold, and he got looking out over everything, and he's like, yeah, I'm pretty great. I did all this. Oh, yeah. And then he had that vision, and Daniel comes and tells him, man, this be to your enemies, but break off your sins. Don't be full of pride to think that you did this. You can't do this. You would be nothing if God didn't give you that throne. You would be nothing if God didn't give you these victories. It wasn't you. It wasn't your wisdom. It wasn't your intelligence. It wasn't your generals. God gave you this kingdom. That's what it says. And of course, we find out a year later, he got walking around thinking the same thing, and he made him like an ox eating grass for 7 years. Where would you be without God? Where would I be without God? And so that's what I'm just telling you. Through those temptations, through those trials, I believe that's when we see that we need God more than we probably ever would. And the Bible says in verse number 3 of James chapter 1, no, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Fall, that would be downward movement, right? This isn't upward movement. This is going down into the valley. This is hardship. This is testing, trial, temptation, difficulty. And the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying, the testing of your faith works patience. Let me say this, because you got to get this here. If you don't get it here, I don't know where you might get it. But faith is not, I believe in myself, so I got on a motorcycle and I tried to jump 10 cars in a motorcycle and landed and ended up in the hospital. That's not faith. It's not believing in yourself. Faith is not a dream. Faith is not a vision. Faith is not whatever you make up. But that's what people out there think. If I want to jump off this building and live and I just pray, you know, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, you're a fool. That is not faith. Believing in yourself that you can do dumb things or hurtful things or stupid things because you prayed a prayer one time is not faith. That is not faith. Faith. What is faith, right? The Bible's substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. But let's go Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Let's get some faith this morning. The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse number 6, the Bible says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who are you, right? You're nobody. You can't do this. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the depth? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The what? The word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. What does that word say? Well, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I'll just say this. You know, I talk to a lot of people that say they're Christians, and I ask them, how do they get saved? How do they become a Christian? And it's like 20 minutes of nonsense. I'm being honest. We had a mutual friend, somebody Danielle had grown up with, married this guy. This guy, complete lost person, complete lost couple that just had no history of God or church or nothing. All of a sudden, this guy like got it in him. He wanted to start a church and be a pastor. So I'm like, well, why don't we go to lunch? I'll buy you lunch. Let's get together. We'll talk about this. And asked him, you know, how'd you get saved? And he starts telling this 20-minute story about an ingrown toenail. Like, that has nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Kyle knows another guy we know. 20 minutes of just complete junk about Jesus sitting in a passenger seat and all this crazy stuff. Like, that's not how you get saved. You don't get saved because Jesus showed up in your passenger seat. You get saved, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's what saves people. And again, what is faith, right? But in all these other more modern churches where they have left the Bible, what do they have? Confusion. They think anything is faith. Everything is faith. But that's not what the Bible says. There's something very specific. Verse number 11, for the scripture saith. Do we see that? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, praise be to God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse number 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Who are you going to call on to save your soul if you don't believe in him? Right? The Bible says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? If you've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how would you then believe it? You know, so we ask people, do you know what the gospel is? What would you say the gospel is? And when they say going to church or keeping commandments or getting baptized, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, best I can tell, you're lost. None of that is salvation. None of that is what saves you. The Bible says, it's verse number 14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You need somebody to preach to you. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report. So then, this is the key. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by your dream. No, I'm sorry. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by your vision. No, I'm sorry, that wasn't right either. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you know how you get saved? It's by the Word of God. Do you know how you can have faith so that you can know God and please God and serve God? It's by hearing the words of God. It's not what you make up. It's not what you dream. It's not what you envision. It is what you hear from the Bible. That is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we have a trial of your faith, what then is a trial of your faith? When hardship comes, when difficulty comes, when you're in the midst of something that just seems insurmountable, will you obey God's word? That's what it comes down to. God has given you commands. God has given you words. God has given you instruction. And yes, hard times are going to come. Difficult times are going to come. What are you going to do? Are you going to give up on God? Are you going to quit on God? Are you going to stop obeying God? Or will you keep going? That's what the trial is. The trying of your faith is whether or not you will obey the Word of God, no matter what comes. Let's see that in play. Genesis 22. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 22. The Bible says, verse number 1, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." God has given Abraham word. God has given Abraham instruction. And unfortunately, what he's facing is very hard. I could not imagine so many people find fault with God over this passage because he's being asked to offer his only begotten son. Now, we know this is because God's giving us a picture. God's giving us a type. Abraham didn't know that. Abraham had instruction from God, "Go and offer your son for a burnt offering on this mountain." Verse number 3. The Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." He did not delay. He didn't say, I'm not ready for this, God. He didn't say, let's do this next month, or God, maybe next year would be a better time for me to do this right now. Maybe a more convenient season, God, let's revisit this. He rose up early. He rose up early in the morning. And so I'm going to try and help you. I'm going to try and help me. When we have hardship, when we have difficulty, God has given us something we need to do, something we need to stop doing, something we need to fix, something we need to reconcile. Are you going to delay? Say, "No, not right now, God. I don't want to fix that broken relationship right now, God. Another time. I don't want to fix things between me and that brother, God. Just let's talk about this maybe in a few months." Or how about, God says, "Stop doing something. I don't think I can quit. God, I don't think I can stop doing that." Why don't you get started? Obey God. Obey God now. Get it done now. Fix what needs to be fixed. Deal with what needs to be dealt with. Reconcile what needs to be reconciled. Restore what needs to be restored. Abraham did not delay. The Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him." And so Abraham is facing what is probably the greatest trial in his entire life. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being told you're going to kill your son and burn him on an altar? Abraham is facing this. He gets up early, he gets started, and the Bible says he grabbed two of his young men. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what trials you have in your life, but don't go through that alone. God has given you a church. God has instructed you to be in fellowship with the brethren. And it doesn't have to be before everybody. It doesn't have to be, airing dirty laundry out with everyone. But man, find some brothers, find some sisters that can help you through this. Abraham took two of his young men. I don't think he grabbed just anybody. Probably men he had good relationship with. And he didn't even tell them what was going on. Hey, just come with me. We got to go out to Moriah. All right. Just be there. And so you know what you might need? You might need some fellowship. You might need some time with a brother, time with a sister, somebody to kind of help you through all of what you might be going through. I'm just going through the picture. Abraham is facing the greatest trial of his life, and he wasn't going to go at it alone. That's what I would tell you. Don't isolate yourself. Don't get out of fellowship. The Bible says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, that'd be hard, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. How hard would that be? Abraham knows he is splitting wood, cleaving wood in preparation to burn his son. That's tough. But this is the trial of your faith. Will you obey God? Will you make those preparations? Will you do what God said needs to be done in the trial of your life? That's what we see with Abraham. The Bible says he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. He rose up and he went unto the place that God had told him. Now, I think it's very interesting. The Bible says Abraham was told to go out to Moriah. In fact, just read it, verse number 2. The Bible says, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So God doesn't give you everything up front. He doesn't tell you exactly where you're going to do, where you're going to be, or how this is going to go and how this is going to end. God doesn't give you that information. Right? The Bible says, Psalm 119. In fact, let's go there. Let's just keep Genesis 22, Psalm 119. Many of you might be familiar with this verse, Psalm 119, verse number 105. Psalm 119, verse number 105. The Bible says, thy word. How do we get faith? Hearing the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God doesn't shine the whole thing down all the way to the end so you can see the road beginning to end when you're going through that trial. You have enough light to make a step and enough light to make another step. Enough light to make another step. Don't turn back. Don't quit. Keep going. You don't know where this is going to end.
Amen.
God is doing this trial. God is putting this trial on him for a reason. It's going to be good for him. It just hurts right now. And I think you'll find that true about your life and your trials. It's not all going to be laid out for you. And verse number 4, Genesis 22, verse number 4, the Bible says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. That had to be a difficult 3 days. Just, come on guys, let's go. I got to go to Moriah. You take your son. You're out camping in Moriah for 3 days. What are we going to do? Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know. What are we doing out here? Well, you'll see. God will get us through this. He's trusting God. He's obeying God. He's continuing to do what God had said. And he's there for 3 days just camping out, waiting for God to show him the place he's going to do this, what seems like an awful thing, what just seems this terrible trial is going to come to a head, if you will. And I thought this was good. Verse number 4, the Bible says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. What did Abraham do in his trial? Looked up. What do you need to do in your trial? Look up. Look to God. Look to Jesus Christ. He can help you through this. He will guide you through this. He will lead you through this. You've got to keep your eyes on Him. Set your affections on things above, right? Keep your eyes and your heart and your mind focused on God. He'll get you through that trial. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Just keep taking those steps. Just keep moving by faith. By faith, Abraham's obeying God, but he's keeping his eyes on the Lord. He's not looking down on what's going on here. He's keeping his eyes on the Lord. And he saw the place afar off. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." And so there are some parts of this, whatever trial you're going through, where you will have to do it on your own. Somebody's not going to be able to hold your hand through it. You're going to have to face that by yourself. But you always have God. You can always keep your eyes on the Lord. And that's, I think Abraham did that. Abraham kept his eyes on God, and that's how he made it through this chapter. Could you imagine having to go through this in your heart, your mind, being told to do something that just seems impossible? And he just kept obeying God, kept taking those steps by faith. And the Bible says in verse number 6, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together." Abraham, I'm going to say this, because of this chapter right here, Abraham is set forth as the example of faith. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And the Bible said, James, that it was fulfilled, that which was spoken when he had believed God, it was counted on him for righteousness. This chapter fulfills it. This chapter brings it to a point in which Abraham is heralded through the ages. This is the example of faith. This is the example of faith. Look at Abraham. Not look at Abraham in his stumbling. Not look at Abraham in the previous chapters. But in this chapter, every place in the New Testament, this says, this is where you want to see faith in action. And the Bible says in Isaac, verse number 7, "Spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, or here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham makes what may be one of the greatest statements in all the Bible. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Amen. Abraham trusted God would get him through this trial. Abraham knew that God would provide whatever was needed, whatever difficulty, whatever hardship he was facing. He knew that God would provide. God would make a way, that God would get him through this. And we love this verse because it's such a great picture of what would happen in the future. Such a prophetic statement of what would happen in the future. I don't know that Abraham actually knew that. Abraham just knew this. God's going to get me through this. I got to offer my son, God. Please. He knew, the Bible says that he believed. Hebrews chapter 11. He believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. He had so much faith in God. He had so much confidence in God that no matter what, if it was to slay his own son, God made him a promise that he would have through Isaac seed like the stars of heaven, seed like the sand that is on the seashore, and that no matter what happens, God will fulfill that promise. And if it meant killing Isaac and God raising him up from the ashes and bringing him back to life to have his own children, he knew that God would make good on that promise. Amen. And I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what trials you're facing, but God will make good on everything that he has promised. Amen. And because of verse number 8, because Abraham would believe, because Abraham kept that faith, because Abraham would not turn away from obeying God, we have the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built there an altar, or built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar, upon the wood. Could you imagine what that was like? The fear, the dread, the concern, and yet all through it, Abraham just kept his eyes on God. I know God made me a promise, and I know that God will make good on this promise. No matter what it means, God is going to do this. Verse number 10, the Bible says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. All the way up, you gotta imagine what was going on in his heart through all of this to this very moment. That the time, man, I'm just telling you, you don't want to quit. Keep obeying God. Keep doing what God said. Victory might be just one moment away. Verse number 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. I didn't quit. I didn't fail. I just kept doing what God said to do. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Verse number 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes. What did he do? He kept his eyes on God. Kept his eyes on God. And the Bible says, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. See, God worked it all out. Amen. Even though Abraham had no idea how God would get him through this, Abraham had no idea where this whole thing would end up, God provided. God made a way. God saw him through to the end. And he just kept obeying God. And that is the trial of your faith. That is the trial of my faith. Will we keep obeying God? And because he obeyed God, look at verse number 16, verse 15, we have this because he didn't quit. We have this because he didn't turn around. And verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son Isaac, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed, as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, Abraham gets this promise, and the world is blessed because Abraham kept the faith. The whole world receives the gospel of Jesus Christ because Abraham did not give up on obeying God. And I don't know your trials, and I don't know your difficulties, and I don't know your hardships, but keep going for God, and he will bring you through, and there will be something great that comes out of this in the end. The Bible says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Abraham obeyed the voice of God. We have the voice of God. Written in black and white, you don't even have to wonder, was it a dream? Was it a vision? Did I just have an upset stomach last night? You got it written down right here in black and white. And I don't know your difficulties. I don't know your hardships. But God knows. And Abraham kept his eyes on God. And Abraham knew that if he just kept believing God, God would get him through it. And the question is, for your trial, for me, for my trial, will we keep obeying God? Or will we turn back? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for this book. Thank you, God, that we can see so many great things, a picture of your Son, your great provision. God, your leading, your guiding, your blessing, your help, your strength. Pray now, God, that you just help us to love you and serve you and not turn back and not quit. We ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen.